Well, praise the Lord. This is our missions report night, and it was a blessed time. We finished up, of course, Sunday a week ago with our services here, and then got packed and tried to get in bed at a decent hour, and got up really early. I think our flight was like 6:40, and we flew from here to Pittsburgh, from Pittsburgh to Phoenix, and then we took an Aeromexico flight and flew through Hermosillo down to Culiacan, and we were literally flying all day long. And we got down there about 7:15 or something like that. Had a little scare there in the airport. I was a little bit distracted as we were going through customs, and there was a service dog that looked just like Charlie. And I thought, look at that. And I was watching the dog and doing some other things. We went out and met the parties that were going to take us out, and they immediately grabbed our luggage and went to the car. And I wanted to double check and make sure they had mine. And nobody had my my garment bag, my suitcase. And I thought, well, where is it? And I thought somebody had taken it. And I kind of panicked, and I thought, I got 7 days, and I got no clothes here. And this is not going to be good. But I had left it at customs. So I went back and got that, and that was a little small problem. But then we were tired and not fresh or anything like that. Didn't have come dressed for church, but and we could have just gone on to the motel, and we thought about it. But then we thought, we came down here to go to these services. Let's go. So we went to the services just like we were, and it was a great blessing, and really was an encouragement. And then we would finish the services each night, probably going on 10 o'clock, and they would be probably 10:15, 10:30 by the time we got out of the services. And then they took us around the corner to these this little open-air taco restaurant. And we did it every night. And I got to tell you, I don't think I can eat another taco in America. I thought tacos were made out of hamburger on a big chip. I mean, they're a meal. They got this big stretchy tortilla that really holds the thing together, and they got this big, meaty, chopped carne asada. Arnold's over there nodding. And I mean, it was grilled meat, and it was just delicious. Just marvelous. And we learned how to order our food, you know, in Spanish and all that, you know, and we never really knew for sure what we were going to get, but we did real well with it. And so we would eat and then have fellowship with the different pastors. In addition to those, the two Mexican pastors, of course, were David Cortez and Alejandro Cordova, and they were very, very effective preachers. The Lord really used them. And we had a great service. Let me tell you, they do their invitations there. And I talked to him. I said, I wonder how that'd go over in America. When they do their invitations, the personal workers stand up in the back. And while the pastor is calling for a response from the people, they watch. And then when they start singing, the personal workers go get everybody that raised their hand and take them out and deal with them. And I thought, wow, you know, and everybody just sort of cooperates with that. And we had a lot of people saved, at least a dozen, more than that, I'm sure, that were saved that we didn't hear about. But there were numbers of people saved, and many, many Christians dedicated their lives to different things. And it was just a great, great time of teaching. And the people were so sweet, so submissive. And, of course, Latin America is just wide open. I mean, there's a spirit and an attitude among Spanish-speaking people, both in Mexico and down in the Caribbean. It's a lot like being in the Caribbean. You know, I've been to Puerto Rico many times, but there were some differences, of course, and the cities were somewhat similar. And then we would, after we were finished with our morning sessions, we'd go from 9 o'clock until about 1:30 or 2. Then we'd go over to Basilio's church and have lunch, and everybody have lunch over there. And then the second day we were there, he said, I want to take you over to a place where we're planting a church. So this is the fourth church that he has planted out of his church since he's been in Culiacan for 7 years. 7 years, got his church, and this is the fourth one. It's in a city named Navalato, which is about 17, 20 miles or so out of Culiacan. Culiacan's a city of 3 million people. If you look at the map, you'll see the Baja Peninsula, which is that little strip of land that goes down west of Mexico. Right across from the tip of that is Culiacan. It's in the city of, in the state of Sinaloa, as the capital of that state. And so we went over toward the coast, and this city, this little town that we went to, about the only thing they had in town was a sugar factory, sugar mill factory, and the whole town smelled like molasses. But it was really, really poor, just very poor. Poverty, like you wouldn't believe. Everything down there is really dusty. And he's got a mission work going on Sunday afternoons. Basilio is one of the workingest men. We can pray for him. specifically, pray he'll lose some weight. I'm afraid his heart's not going to hang in there. He just doesn't have time to exercise, but he needs to. And he works on Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning service, and they go for a long, long time. He gets finished with all that about 1 o'clock, eats a bite, gets in his car, goes over and spends the entire afternoon with these people over at Novolato, and then turns around and gets back just in time for his evening service at his church. And just works all day. And it's amazing. And of course, his people are well trained. His people are very hard working people. He has 175 people meeting in a house in Novolato. Isn't that amazing? They have bought a piece of land. How much would you say it would be, Tim? Maybe an acre? Something like that. Maybe a little less than an acre. Maybe half acre. Something like that. And they have built a wall around the entire property to box it in. And they've got the shell of the beginning of their building. And they've got some plans. And their people are doing all the work. And they are paying for it. They bought that piece of land and built that wall for $10,000. And their church raised all the money to do it. That's the fourth church that he started out of his church. It's amazing. They are getting the job done down there. And we need to pray for that missionary. And keep him before the Lord. He was just constantly thanking us for our prayers. And thanking us for our support over the years. And giving his love and greetings to the people here. And it was just a real blessing. And so we did that each day. And, of course, it was good to see Jim Singleton. As you know, Jim Singleton's had cancer. Seriously, he was told 7 months ago he had about 2 months to live. And they took most of his stomach out, and he had cancer on his liver, and it was in his bones. But he just won't die. He's just going to keep on preaching. I mean, he's been alive for 7 months, and he's still strong in preaching. He's booked up for the next 2 years. And his wife said, well, you know, if that means you're going to live, then maybe you need to get some meetings 10 years from now. But, I mean, he looked good to me. I've heard so many terrible stories about how bad off he was. And I really thought he looked good. He'd lost his hair, but it's, you know, kind of coming back, kind of fuzzy. But he looked good, and he preached, and he seemed strong, and he had to rest a lot, and his voice was a little husky. But I was very encouraged when I saw him. And the Lord has really given him a fruitful ministry. And I see a brokenness in him that, what a blessing. You know, I saw that happen to some other brothers of mine here of that same generation, okay, over the last several years. And God is teaching him things, and he is sharing it with others. I see a tenderness in him that is such a blessing. And God is really getting the glory through this thing he's going through. And praise the Lord for that. But we finished up then, of course, on Thursday night with the services there and then left early Friday morning. And we had to fly through Hermosillo. So I got out at Hermosillo to be with the folks there. And Keith Huda and his little boy Andrew met me at the airport. They're having the Olympic trials for something there in Hermosillo this weekend. There's a bunch of athletes that had arrived at the same time. And so it's very hot in the middle of the day. Very nice in the evenings all over the country, but very, very hot in the afternoons. And so Keith met me there, and we went straight to the institute where I preached in chapel as soon as we got there. Got to see Steve Thomas, and of course later on got to see Rosie and Ron Cochran and his wife. Ron Cochran's wife, Jackie, is Becky Mullinex's sister. For those of you who know the Mullinex, Dave and Becky Mullinex up in Idaho now. And so he's been down there for many years. And then there were others that I had known from Phoenix and many of the students that we met. There's one student I got to tell you about. This fellow is probably in his early to mid-40s. Big guy, real tender heart. He gave me an ironwood belt buckle while I was down there. And he used to be a federale. You know what that is? It's like a state trooper, I guess, for Mexico. Before he was saved, he was a real mean guy. And his wife had run off with another fella, and he put a contract down on her. And he and this other guy, she had gone up to Phoenix, and they were going to go up and kill her. And so he got up to Phoenix, and they were going to kill his wife. And while he was up there, somebody invited him to church, and he thought, well, that'd be a good cover. And so if he went to church, nobody would suspect he was up there to kill his wife. So he went to church and got saved. Isn't that something? So he, of course, canceled the contract. But and she did go ahead and leave, and their marriage broke up. But now he's studying to serve the Lord at the Institute
in Hermosillo. Now, don't get the idea when they use the word institute that it's anything other than a four-year Bible college, because that's what it is. I asked Keith, why don't you call it a college? He says, because they use that to refer to high schools down here. And he said, that's what we call it, and everybody understands what it is. But they have a four-year degree program there, and it's a good comprehensive program. And they were showing me around the complex, and they showed me, see these practice rooms back there? That's the practice rooms your team built. And they have those back out there, behind there. And then I went over to Keith's house, and they put me upstairs in the bedroom and said, now this will be your bathroom here. This Ron Burns built this. And I mean, everywhere I went around there, they were showing me things that you people had gone down there and built. And it just choked me up. I tell you, I just had to just praise God and thank Him for you and for what you've done down there. And I know we got a team going down later this month. And there's some other things I want to tell you about that I want you to be real discreet about, but I want you to be praying about, because there's a principle I need to give you that I think will be a help to you too. But we had a great time. Friday afternoon, Keith and I got to talking. Dr. Mercado had taken me aside when we were down in Culiacan. He says, we're having a little problem here, and maybe you can be a help to me. And he shared that problem with me, and it was a little bit of a conflict over a theological issue. A new man that has come who's a good fellow. I met him in Denver a year ago, February. And he looks like he's Paul Gallant's twin. You know, I mean, when you see him, you'll know exactly who he is, those of you going down there. But a real tender-hearted guy, good fellow. And he had some issues that were causing a little bit of controversy. And it has to do with an issue that came up 15 or so years ago that almost destroyed that school because of this doctrinal issue. And Dr. Mercado's taken a real rock-ribbed stand on the thing. And, of course, that's creating some tension for them as well. So he asked me if I could maybe help to talk to him a little bit about that. So Keith brought it up, and we talked for several hours. He brought me all up to date on the 3 years that he was so sick, and told me how the Lord made it possible for him to adopt little Andrew. Lourdes, I got to know her so much better. I'd only met her a couple of times. She is a precious person. She is a hard-working lady, and she is a wonderful wife and a wonderful missionary. And I'm telling you, I just thank the Lord for her. And I stayed in their home. And then that evening, we went to Keith's church for a service. And then I went out to dinner with Steve and Rosie. And we had a good time of fellowship and talked with them. And, of course, they've got a little baby on the way. And so that's going to be exciting. And we had a great time there. And then the next morning, we got up and talked for 4 hours to all the workers and the students. And then I met with the preacher boys, and we did some work on expository preaching. And I gave them some comments on one of their assignments at one of the teacher's requests and things like that. And then Keith took me to a place. How many of you ever been there, Hermosillo? Okay, you ever been to Xochimilco's? Okay, we went to Xochimilco's. That's an Indian name, and I can begin to spell it for you. They eat some strange things down there. They have a thing they call menudo, which we won't get into. Okay, you know what that is. Okay, it's like something, a part of the cow that God never intended for you to eat. But at any rate, they eat that. And they were making tortillas that were like 2 feet across. And you know, here we have smoking and non-smoking. There they have no mariachi sections. You know, because they have this big mariachi band, and they guys get all around you, and then you're supposed to tip them. And if you want to eat and be left alone by the mariachi, you go to the no mariachi section. But it was funny. But we had a great time. Then we went downtown, and I got some little teeny tiny cowboy boots for my grandkids. I got one, a little black pair for both the boys, and I got Sarah a little beige pair. And I thought, no, that's important. We need to do that. But got some ironwood figures for my wife and things like that. And it was a great time. We passed out tracts, gave out a lot of tracts. I took Becky's tract in Spanish, and the people were so open. And it was just really, really exciting to see how that happened. Well, then that night, Keith and Ron had a wedding. So then I was invited to go out to dinner with this other missionary that Brother Mercado was concerned about. And he had told me that he thought there was a theological discrepancy there. And the more I got to talking, the more I realized, you know, this is not really a theological problem. This is a loyalty problem. And, you know, you can discuss anything with a loyal man, but you can't discuss anything with a disloyal man. You really can't, because he questions your motives. And I was talking to him and was real direct with him. And bless his heart, he had such a tender heart. And was such a sweet man. And I was able to show him from the scripture some things. A young fellow. He doesn't have a lot of experience. But he's got a good heart. He's got a good education. But he was able to see it. And he says, what do I do now? How do I fix it? So he needed to contact his pastor and make some things right with him. And then he needed to contact Dr. Mercado and make some things right with him. This afternoon, while I was running a few errands, I called that pastor and Brother Mercado. And as soon as I called the pastor, I said, listen, I need to talk to you. I had a long talk with Brother so-and-so while I was down there. I'm going to see. I said, yes, I know. He says, he's already called me. And he had called him and made it all right. And I thought, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so it looks like it's all going to work out now and everything's going to be okay. And it was just a real blessing because he's a good man. He's got a good family, sweet kids, and God's going to use him down there to be a real blessing and a help, I believe. But that was Saturday night then, and we stayed up very late talking about that. That even Sunday morning, then got up and taught again at Keith's church, and we had some good response from the people, and just a real openness and good response to the invitations. Keith's got a ministry that's in the northern part of Hermosillo that's several miles from the Institute. He lives very close to the Institute. And we drove up north into town, and down this little dirt road in these little houses that would look like some kind of a farm building behind, you know, an old dilapidated house. And that's their houses. That's where they live. And old beat up cars that are just in, you know, you would think they couldn't run. That's what most of them have. And Keith's got a church building right there on that street. And it was filled with clean, joyful believers that were just praising the Lord and singing. And it was such a joy to see what they've done there. And I just can't describe it to you enough. But then Keith took me to the airport, and I was on my way to Tucson, where I was going to meet Susanna and Sarah Mack. They came to the airport to meet me. And so my granddaughter was there, and as soon as I got through customs and walked out, she ran and grabbed me and gave me a big hug. And so I spent the afternoon with them, and we went up to the Tucson Mall, and we had chicken nuggets and rode the carousel. A lot. And she rode the zebra and the horsey and the rooster and the rabbit and the kitty. And then we had a great time together. And I was going to try to find her some little sunglasses. And we went into this little place. And they had this little ballerina crown with these little feathers on it. And she looked at it and I said, would you like to have that? She went like that. And so I put it on her head, and I got that for her. She wore it the rest of the time. You know, and we rode the carousel some more, and she had that little thing on there. We had a great time, and I took a lot of pictures of her and had a little talk with her, you know, and about doing right and loving the Lord and that sort of thing. And we prayed together, and it was real sweet. And then they took me, gave her boots, of course, and she liked them. And then they took me to Ed Nelson's church where I preached Sunday night. And Ed Nelson's been there for 4 years, Bethel Baptist Church there in Tucson. And it's way out in the north west side of town. You think you're in the desert, nobody lives there. But at night you can see a lot of lights. There's a lot of houses out there. Not too far from Oro Valley where the Rices are going. And he's got a church full of people. And I want to tell you something, folks. They run about, I think they have about 175 or something like that. And I think they have 200 people total. Church is 4 years old. They got a nice little building paid for. They gave, so far this year, since January 1, $65,000 in Faith Promise missions. 4 months. 3 months. 3 months. In 3 months, they've given $65,000 to missions out of that church, 200 people. God is blessing. And a great service that night, and a lot of good response from the people, and learned so much. I've always admired and appreciated Dr. Nelson. He's just such a wonderful, wonderful man of God. Think about that man, 75 years old, and he is, yeah, I think that's what he is, 75 years old, and you know, retired a few years ago after all those 30 some odd years there at South Sheridan, was in evangelism before that, went back into evangelism after that was over, and then went down to Tucson, started this church, and has just done a great job. And so then I spent the night with them and had good fellowship, and Mrs. Nelson fixed us a nice breakfast. They were on their way to Phoenix for the fellowship meeting of their preacher's group, and he took me, dropped me off at the airport, and flew back to Phoenix. And when I got off the plane at Phoenix, Tim was there waiting for me, and Gail Heredia was there. So she took us to a place where we had some lunch, and I was able to talk with her. God is really working in Gail's life. Oh, those of you who know Gail, she has grown so. And God is using her, and she is a very strategic person there in the office of Mexican Gospel Mission. And we got talking about our feet,
You know, and her feet give her a lot of trouble. All she can wear are running shoes, ever. With all of her clothes, that's all she can wear. And she has a lot of trouble with her wrists. And I asked her what kind of orthotics she was using in her feet. And, of course, I told her about mine. And she says, well, the doctor makes mine. She says, I need another pair. She said, but the insurance would only pay for the first pair. I said, well, how much are they? And she said, they're $400. I said, you need another pair? Yes. And I said, well, I'll get them when I get the money. And I thought, $400 for a missionary to stay on her feet. Maybe we need to get involved in that. So I'm putting that in your hearts and minds. And we need to do something about that. Because she has suffered tremendously with her feet and her wrists. And that's a small thing for us to do to help her. That's a big obstacle for her. And so we ought to do something to help her. But she took us to a place called the Arizona Center. And it was about 68 degrees and the palm trees. And I can see why people like to live in Arizona in the winter. And it was really nice. And by the way, they do not like John McCain out there. I don't know who elected him, but they do not care for the man. Everybody I talked to had no use for him. And they all knew about this big flap. But everywhere I went and everywhere that this thing about BJ came up, everybody was talking about how they hope and pray that this works out for the good of Bob Jones. Even a lot of people that weren't really Christian people that I was in contact with that happened to come up. Then we flew home, got back to Charlotte, and almost didn't make it home. The big storm was coming through, and all the other planes were gone or canceled. The flights were shut down. We arrived in Charlotte at 10:20 about. Our flight was supposed to have left at 10:15, but it was still there. And so we raced over to where the flight was, and actually it didn't leave till 11:30. And we were able to get our flight and get home. And as I was going over all the paperwork today of all the different people I've got to write to, what a week. What blessings. How God worked. And those of you, now, when I go on missions trips, it's a little different. One of these days, I want to go on a working missions trip where we drive nails or something. Because when I go on missions trips, I spend all my time preaching and counseling and encouraging and, you know, a little bit of time doing other things. And of course, I know that's how I work. But I'll tell you, when I saw what you folks have done, and I think about that building they're going to build there in Navolato, and I thought, boy, that'd be a great place for one of our teams to go. But those of you who come back and give us reports about missions trips that you're going on, no, I tell you, it's such a blessing. And those of you who've never been, I'm not sure there's really any way to communicate to you what I saw while I was down there and the ministry that you have had. And, you know, the same names kept coming up again and again and again. And they were talking about the Corvers and how they had helped and the Burns and different people. And I shouldn't have started mentioning names because I'm going to forget the rest of them. But they mentioned so many of you and what a blessing you had been to them. And then they talked about letters that they had received from you and things you had done for them and the way you had written to their children and how your children had written to their children. And what a blessing. And I just can't tell you what it means to see the impact. I know sometimes we don't see a lot of people saved here. But your strengthening of those people is directly contributing to the scores of people that are coming to Christ through their ministries. And you rejoice in that. You know, Paul, one of these days you'll be over there in Yap and you'll be winning all the Yapites or what do you call them? Yappies to the Lord. And we'll be back here praying for you and sending you money and writing you letters and sending teams over there and coming to visit you. And I'll be standing up here or you'll be standing up here and we'll be bringing reports back about what God is doing through the Zimmers over there in Yap. And I know some of you here that might not know some of these missionaries that I'm talking about. There are others here that know them as well as we know each other. And it means so much to them to have somebody back here holding this end of the rope. So I didn't have a text tonight, but I felt like you needed to hear this. And just keep praying for them and keep encouraging them. And whenever God gives you an opportunity to go, by all means, go. It'll change your life and it'll sure be a blessing to them. Okay? Pastor Garvey, why don't you come up here and close us in prayer, and I'll slip back to the back and greet the people, okay? Amen.
Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the reproduction of the principle that the things that we have heard were able to transmit to faithful men who were able to teach others also. And Lord, for that which you've done in our lives and then being able to see it modeled in others, reproducing the very person of Christ, both with those that are getting saved and those that are growing. Lord, help us to realize that as we pray and as we give, and even, Father, as we go, that it's so vital and it makes a difference for eternity. Thank you for the privilege to be a co-worker together with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.